You're tuning in to the Black Hollywood Live Network, featuring news, interviews, and commentary on all things Black Hollywood. Hollywood redefined. From Los Angeles, California, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is Black Hollywood Live, Just Saying, featuring conversations on love, sex, and relationships from three sassy ladies. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.
You're listening to Black Hollywood Live.
And now, the host of Black Hollywood Live, Just Saying.
Good evening and welcome to Just Saying. Thank you for joining your three favorite girlfriends. It's Friday night. We hope you got your cocktail because we got some juicy stuff to talk about. Did you miss us last week? Because we wasn't in the chat room.
No.
Was y'all in there without us? Just checking. So let me introduce you to my co-host. To my left, the amazing, the beautiful, the talented, and the 20 pounds lighter, Mrs. April Daniels.
Say hi.
And next to April is our new flyest girl, I'm just saying, the new LA chick, our Black Barbie, Miss Jennifer Williams.
Oh, yay!
And for tonight's topic, we had to bring in a special guest. Now, this is our dog. Like, yes. For real, this is our hitter. Like, she will fight you for me.
Yes.
We love her. She is a mom. She is an incredibly successful television executive. She is a boss, and she is not your average church chick. So please welcome Miss Treva Williams.
Hey, guys.
Hey,
honey. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, yes.
My pleasure.
Finally.
It's my fault. And I'm going to say finally not because y'all didn't invite me before.
What? That is not true.
I said I'm going to say finally.
Finally not.
Not because you guys didn't invite me before. Finally because I said bump it. Let me go and take a day off and come be with my girls.
We appreciate
it. We cursed a little on here.
Okay, go ahead.
We are so happy that you are joining
us.
So before we jump into our show, we always kind of catch up and talk about what everybody has been doing. So Jennifer, what have you been up to this week?
So I have some new projects that I'm working on. Ooh. That I'm really, really excited about. Some passion projects. And I'm starting a new online store.
Ooh,
called
nice.
Classy Girl Wardrobe.
Ooh.
And I'm excited about that. And April's son, who is so smart and amazing.
Thank you.
Is helping me with my website. So I'm just extremely, extremely blessed to have all you guys in my life and to have him helping me. And I'm just, you know, I'm looking forward to my next chapter. In LA, I'm still getting, you know, I'm settled, but I'm not adjusted. So I'm still getting adjusted. And I have some new TV projects.
Nice.
And I'm excited about that. So,
nice.
You know, I'm just planting my seeds so it could bloom shortly.
Right.
So, it's
so the world will meet the new Jennifer Williams.
Yes. I'm about to cut my hair every day.
Well, don't do that.
I'll just leave it. Yeah. There you go.
Now, April, both of us were in Dallas.
Yes, we were.
At MegaFest. I know you didn't plan on coming.
No, I so didn't because it was supposed to be a family trip. And next thing I knew, I was on a flight to Dallas. And I was like, what in the world? But what I loved about it was that got to see you. It was so like off the cuff. I walked in and looked behind me, and the Diane walked in. I was like,
And I was like, I gotta go now.
But we were down there. Tamar, she was doing Girl Talk and a couple other things, and we were shooting season 4 of Tamar.
Yes.
So we had a good time.
Good.
I heard you were incredible. I heard you had not only the women and all, but I heard you had the husbands with the women. Like, this woman is incredible. So that's amazing.
It was truly, truly amazing. So you guys, I spoke at MegaFest. Yes. I taught an empowerment session. I was so incredibly nervous, right? I walked into my room like an hour before, and it was like, it was so big. So I was like, how many seats are in here? It's about 1,000 seats. I said, I need some seat fillers.
Right. Can you get some extras?
Get some extras? Hello. But in the end, it was every seat was filled.
Wow.
It was standing room only. They were turning people away at the door. So I
Look
was
at
so,
God.
So thankful.
Won't he do it?
Yes.
And I didn't cuss once.
See?
Woo!
That's good. That's good.
It was amazing.
You better than
and nobody
me.
Tried you, did they?
Nobody, no, no one tried me this time.
Put your switchblade away.
So, T, what have you been up to? Because oh we God. Haven't seen you in forever.
I know.
They call me T, but my other name is Miriam because I'm a Hebrew slave. I have been working. I have just been working. I've been mm-hmm. working. I'm a part of Mona Me Entertainment, which is Mona Scott Young's production company. And I've been working. I've been training. I've been learning. She has grabbed me by my arm and has just pulled me through mm-hmm. this process. And I feel like she's giving me every ounce of her 20-year experience. Right. And she's making me suck it up before 2015 ends. So, yes, I've been working like a Hebrew slave. And in between time, enjoying my grandbaby
yes.
who lives here and always on FaceTime with my other grandbaby. So, you know, just living life. Monday through Friday, I'm a street hustling producer.
Right.
And Saturdays and Sundays, I'm Grammy.
Yes. Yes.
And tell us what show you're currently working on.
I am currently working on the exciting Love and Hip Hop Hollywood Season 2.
Fire.
We premiere Monday, September 7th. I make the TV you love to watch and don't want to tell nobody that you do watch. But we appreciate you for tuning in.
Right?
And you're going to be glued this season.
Wow.
Because we have produced the hell out of this
I
season.
Can only imagine.
Amazing.
Wow.
I'm
so can you give us, drop a little,
okay, I can drop a little, only because
something.
Our Super Trailer's already out. We have, of course, we have Ray J's back, and he's brought his girl Princess back.
They still together?
I know.
Depends on which day of the week. Depends upon which day of the week.
They're young. You know, that goes with the territory.
Then we have Tierra Marie, and there's an interesting twist with her and the whole, it's a Rage Day. It's some interesting
stuff. Wow.
And then we have, you know, everybody loves Lil Fizz. You know, the girls have dusted off their posters from B2K days, and he's still working.
They done cut the other members off. Yes. Just got him on the wall.
So, yeah, and then we have some exciting new couples. We have, I'm very excited about Willie from Day 26 and his wife and his family.
I always loved him.
I did a party with him. He's a nice guy.
He is. And I love his wife. His wife is crazy, but I love her. And then we have, you know, it hit the blogs. It hit the press everywhere. We have our first openly gay black male hip hop couple on Love and Hip Hop.
Watch
them dump all on her.
Yes, I did read a little something about that.
They're rappers, they're producers.
Wow.
And one of them, we follow his journey to finding himself.
Okay. Wow.
And I'm very proud of this storyline because we told it, and I don't care what anybody says and how people come. I rest every night knowing that we took such care to tell their story with responsibility, minus sensationalism. I mean, they live a hip hop life, gay or not. They live a hip hop life, and there's drama that comes with hip hop. But the responsibility that we took behind the scenes and in the process to tell their story, I am uber, uber proud of.
Wow. Nice. That's amazing.
Yep.
Congratulations.
Well, we will be supporting.
Yes. Well, it's Friday night, and no Friday night would be complete without our traditional cocktail. So, Jen, tell us what we are having tonight.
Start up. So, shout out to Tiny's Tequila because she is our sponsor. Oh, so, tonight our drink is the Peach Hustle.
Mm. Mm.
And so, we have the Tiny's Orange Blossom Tequila, a little peach schnapps. Top it off with some orange juice and some grenadine, and you have the perfect Peach Hustle.
That sounds yummy.
It does.
It is. Right? Please try it.
Cheers, ladies.
Okay, cheers.
Look
cheers.
Me in my eye, girl. I need good
I
sex.
Is that what that means?
Yes.
I need some
you
sex.
You get 7 years of bad sauce and you're not
what?
Need
wait a minute.
Stare at me.
I never do that.
Oh, that is good.
That is good.
That's nice.
I mean, I'm not no bartender, but I can make a little something. That's good.
So the recipe will be on the website.
Yes,
right?
The recipe is on the website, justsayingshow.com. So check it out. Get your cocktail, get your little ingredients, and drink with us.
All right.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you, Jen. So before we jump into our show, you guys know that we bring you our show live every week, And we're able to do this at no cost to anyone because you all are our viewers and we have amazing sponsors that believe in what we're doing, like DraftKings. So I want you guys to continue to tune in to the podcast, go to blackhollywoodlive.com, get more information, support DraftKings, because without them, we would not be bringing you Just Saying. All right.
Just
so
saying.
Now, thank you, DraftKings. Yes.
Just we saying. Love you, DraftKings.
Right? Yes. Thank you.
We love a sponsor.
Hello.
And more ways than one.
Jennifer.
I'm all about a good sponsor.
So, ladies, let's jump into our show tonight. Tonight, we are talking about not your average church chick. Now, I just came from Dallas, so I've been in the church world for, you know, a good 72 hours. I was all up in it. But our girl Treva created this concept called Not Your Average Church Chick, and we thought it was appropriate that we talk about it this week. So, T, tell us about it, and when did you come up with it? Why?
Actually, to be very honest, Not Your Average Church Chick, my son, I was in full-time ministry from like 2003 up until like 2009 or so, probably beyond that because I did work for the Marys, but so till 2014, mm-hmm. but it was rough. It wasn't always easy. I got saved at 29, so I was married, had kids. I was on my second marriage, had kids. I didn't grow up with, you know, in a church. I didn't go every Sunday, mm-hmm. Wednesday. I just found the Lord. In full-time ministry, I met some people that was not quite that sweet all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that they would be. Mm-hmm. So I got to a place after I got tired of just having my feelings hurt. And then you know how you get to that frustrated, angry spot?
Yes.
And one day this lady, she tried me in a parking lot. No, we weren't even in a parking lot. We were like in the vestibule of the church.
Uh-huh.
And she said something crazy to me.
Right.
And I looked. I said, blink, Heifer. I am not your average church chick. I will make it happen for you and your father. Yes,
you will get your entire life up here. Yeah.
And honestly, that's where it came from. It was from a negative place. And then, but through my time, I started just, it just stuck with me because part of it was I didn't see me in the church that I was at that time. Mm-hmm. I was looking for myself.
Right.
So I found myself imitating and emulating what holy represented, mm-hmm, or what church ladies represented, and I was so out of my comfort zone. I was wearing big hair, she had rhinestones on her fingers, and then I was just but I think that's what you were supposed to do, because when I was younger, I always knew about the Lord, and I always assumed that getting saved was something you did when you got, mm-hmm, older. And you know, at 20 something, older to me at that day and time was 55.
Right.
So I feel like when I got 55, I was going to be really good and save and go to church. Ben did everything I wanted to do. And I mean, what you doing at 55?
Right.
But now at 47, I know mama going to be popping. But anyway, so I had reserved that time for that. And I just didn't recognize myself. I didn't know how. I still enjoyed what I enjoyed. I still was who I was.
Right.
And I was looking for me. And everybody else was telling me I needed to be everybody but
yourself. Mm-hmm. Yes. And you know, I think that Christians have such a bad habit, you know, of doing that. So Jen, tell us, like, for you, how have you kind of dealt with, you know, Christians who believe that you should be their own picture of Christianity?
Honestly, like, with everything I've been through, my skin is so tough, and I don't try to conform to anybody's idea of whatever they think, whatever kind of bullshit. I'm just like, listen, I know I'm not perfect, and I try and read like 5 chapters of my Bible every night. Sometimes it don't happen because I'd be a little too drunk. And sometimes I don't make it to church on Sunday because I'll be a little hungover. I go to church, you know, I call myself a Christian. Mm-hmm. I did get saved, and you know what? I try to be the best that I can be. Like, I'm a work in progress, so I know that, you know, there are things that I absolutely do need to work on. But I don't put myself in this box.
Right.
I'm like, listen, I go to church. Yes, I curse. Yes, I sin. We all do.
Yes.
So honestly, I don't listen to the chit-chat.
Right.
It's like, look, I do what I could do. I'm not here to judge you. Don't judge me.
Yeah. And that's the judgment part, I think, that I always had the biggest problem with. Not that not that there were women that I felt couldn't sew into my life or couldn't help me be better, but it always just came with that, you know, that negative finger pointing. Yes. Now, April, I know your life changed dramatically when you met the man of your dreams.
Oh my gosh, did it?
Yes.
No more Sister April.
Hello.
Sweet Sister April.
It was a while. Like, I did April's wedding, didn't see her no more. And then 10 years later, I was like, who are you?
Oh my gosh, it was. I mean, I was brought up to have a relationship with Jesus, Lord Jesus, Savior. Yes, all of that. But I was not church on Sundays. I was not at Bible school. I did not eat, sleep, and breathe in church. That was not a part of my life. So when I met Sean, I was like, say, wait a minute, we went to church last Sunday. We got to go again. I'm like, wait, what you mean? It's a church program. We don't have to go to that program. You know, so it was kind of weird because I was from one world that was kind of like at my leisure to a world that was like, every Sunday, we have to do this. You have to be on the ministry. You have to. And I'm like, okay, you know, but I grew to love it. You know, it wasn't something that I was uncomfortable with. I think people were more uncomfortable with me because I didn't fit the cookie cutter mold of a Christian girl. Mm-hmm. I wasn't what people thought Sean should marry. And so, you know, that was. That is when my husband tried to.
She cannot.
Sean Daniels, if you are watching, that's a shame. No, you see how you had your wife looking?
April, is that you?
That is April.
That is me with First Lady so-and-so suit on. And I had a closet full of them. Yeah. I had kitten heels and all, Jennifer.
Oh, my love is a skirt that I'm too long and too short for long.
But look, let me tell you, I was so happy being her.
Right.
I was so happy being her.
That's because you were like somebody's grandmother.
No, she was happy because she was at home getting that good. Good.
I was in love. Want me to put on the garbage?
Listen, I was like, goodbye, Century Club. Hello, Tabernacle. But you know, it came at a perfect time because I had already done what most young people do, and I really was at a place where I was like, oh my God, if I don't find my husband, this is not it. You know, I was like, So when it came, I was like, sure, I'll get a suit in every color. I'll wear a big hat. Thank God I didn't give y'all a picture with a hat on. Yes, but, you know, even during this time, visually, I fit the mold.
Yes.
But still, people did not think I was supposed to be in the position that I was in.
Because they couldn't track your background.
No.
You weren't in youth choir. They don't remember you from this. Your grandma wasn't, they couldn't track your mom. Trust me, I wore the uniform too.
Yeah. Or then you had the people that said, oh, yeah, I know somebody who know you and they told me all about you. And I'm thinking, if you asked me, I would have told you all about me. I ain't got nothing to hide. You ain't got to go do a background search on me.
Exactly.
I'll let you know. You know, I did it. I'm not ashamed of it. But you know, it definitely was hard to, you know, have people, because I really was in a position of wanting to embrace.
Yes. Right. Yes.
But let me tell you, they was like,
stop, lady, stop.
To this day, I don't do the pass the peace thing in church. No. Because people would take that opportunity to say crazy stuff to me.
Yeah.
I'm reaching out in love to go like this. You should maybe wear something like this is not the time. Right. So to this day, we're not passing peace. Yeah. If I didn't know you when I came in the door, I won't be passing peace.
Now, y'all know we ain't, none of us is average. No. But there are some pretty average women in the church.
Yes, seriously.
I mean, let's just take a look at some
Did you say that's not right?
Let's just take a look at some of them. Where is the sweet, beautiful lady in that red suit?
I'm too average.
She got on her real good church uniform on this Sunday.
Come on, somebody.
She headed the usher board. Don't they always look the same?
No, that's the first lady.
That's the first lady. Usher board wish.
Excuse me.
That's my lady suit.
Yeah. Usher board got on white with her white mittens.
Hey, and what about the hats? Because the hats.
Yeah. Why is that the uniform? Like, I'm so confused.
No, that's a black hat.
Right. Now, see that right there?
Right here?
That's Sister May.
Sister Pearline.
She got it leaning to the side a little bit.
Y'all been looking so long.
That one with the feather, she a problem. I can tell you.
Yeah. She faking the pump. She's like, I'm going to fake it till I make it.
She the ringleader.
Yeah, they don't know what's happening on Saturdays and Fridays.
Lord Jesus.
Now, I know I am not by myself. Has anybody ever had one of them ushers come and bring you like a nice, beautiful little scarf? to put over your thunder thighs.
You know, no, I've seen that done.
I don't appreciate that.
Yeah, you know, I think
I don't appreciate it.
That this is where I stand with that.
What?
We are in a world today that tradition is not going to win souls.
Yes,
you cannot make a person feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm, no.
If this is somebody's first time coming to the church, they don't know protocol.
Yeah.
But
right.
Comfort them. Give them love. Don't make them feel like you're wrong. Mm-hmm. That's inappropriate because they're not coming back.
Right. And, and Jesus take people as they were.
Yeah. And right. I don't, that's just the biggest misconception. And then this is the other thing. To me, if it's really, if the usher sees this, then to me, don't put them in the front. Sit them in a pew where they don't have to worry about the lap scarf.
Absolutely.
But, you know, if everybody did their job with a little bit of love and concern as opposed to protocol and tradition, you know, it would be different. You would get different results. But a lot of people are cool on church because of how the congregation or the people in their operating fields make them feel when they come there. Because the average person today ain't got no suit, ain't wearing no calf limb skirt.
And I'm really not going there about men in church being tempted. Because I'm sorry.
You need to get your flesh under control. That's not my issue, Pastor, Deacon, and Brother Joe.
Sitting
on the front thing.
It's mine on
you
the matter.
You need to get your flesh under control. That's not my problem.
Yeah.
If my shoulders is bothering you, you need to go back and talk to God if it's a little bit
mine on the matter. Exactly.
You're not going to give me a scarlet letter because you got sin. Sin issues.
Because when I put this shirt on, it was not to draw attention. I didn't want to be hot in the storefront that I'm coming to worship in today.
I'm 47. It's 192 degrees outside, and I'm not going to put a jacket. I brought a blazer. It's not going on.
Say it. Now, here's somebody who is definitely not your average church chick. Now, Tyler Perry has said that Madea is a Bible-quoting, gun-toting, cussing Christian, and he said that she is based on his aunt. So, as you can see her saying, Lord, please give me patience, because if you give me strength, I just might be rich today.
Look, let me just say something.
Amen. Hallelujah,
say all the time,
in Jesus' name.
When God saved me, he saved you.
Oh, that's a good one, T. Wait, say that again.
When God saved me, he saved you. Okay? Because you didn't want me, B.C. Treva.
B.C. Treva before Christ.
You hold it together. Because I told you all the time when I first got saved, like, look,
he
even now.
From me beating your ass.
Yes. Even now, like, I've been black a lot longer than I've been saved. Black come first a lot. Right. Then I go, wait, hold up, Treva, you're a woman of God.
Right.
But the other part, look, as far as the here's the thing, Psalms 144, verse 1. It is a scripture. God's word. It says, God prepared my hands for battle and my fingers for war. I can and will make it happen for you. One of my most favorite men of God, who I sat up under for 2 years in Houston, Bishop Ivy Hilliard. That was his. What? When he blessed me with that scripture.
And you ran with it.
I have the right to protect and defend myself.
Right.
Wait, now, what is that?
Psalm 144.
Don't you give that to Johnny.
No, because I might just have to call.
She don't have that license plate.
Yes. God said, I'm whatever you need. I just want to thank Bishop Hilliard. He's a man of faith. He's an awesome man of God. Listen. He knows the word. Mm-hmm. In and out.
Yeah.
Let's all drink to that.
Amen.
Cheers. Jesus turned water to wine, honey.
Yes, he did.
All right, ladies. So moving on. Sometimes you just got to switch that shit up.
Yes.
So I want to know, could you go to a church where the first lady was a teen mother, had been married 3 times, wore provocative clothing, and had been investigated for misappropriating church funds? Well, that is our dear lovely Mrs. Paula White. And she is one of the most well-known evangelists in the world.
And we'll preach you under a table and
table.
She got a cute little haircut.
Always. Paula's always cute. Pastor Paula's always cute.
I met Pastor Paula White when I did DeLeon and Gary Sheffield's wedding because they lived in Florida and her church was there, and so they were members at her church, and I was like, I like her.
Yeah.
You know, and I just feel like when there are men of God or women of God that are in ministry that have gone through some stuff.
flawed.
That's normally
they're
when
not
they
as judgmental.
No, the thing they about know how to operate out of love.
Is that the things that you quoted about her is not anything we had to go dig up and research. It's what she tells you.
Right.
Yes.
She says that this is who I was. This is what I went through. These are the mistakes I make. Like, you don't have to do an investigative report on her.
Right.
She'll tell you. She'll own her. She'll own who she is, was, and all that it's made her to be.
And here's the thing. I just feel like we all have a past. We have a history.
Yes.
And you can't judge people on that because that's not who they are in this present day and age. Like, you know, we've all done some things that we're ashamed of. Right. Does that make us not worthy to be, you know, an executive, to be a pastor, to be whatever? I just don't agree with that.
Right.
And I think when you are willing to admit your flaws, you take the power away from other people. Because there's churches that you sit up there and you confide in Sister So-and-so, and next thing you know, they done used everything you confided against you.
Yeah.
But you, and you like,
you know, you definitely
have to be wise
with
your testimony, because everybody can't handle your truth and your reality. I learned that the hard way. I'm cool with Treva. I'm cool with every mistake Treva's ever made. I'm cool with every accomplishment I've ever made. But I've learned along the years that everybody can't handle my past.
And everybody can't handle where you're going.
April, I know we
meant to be on the
talked about you a little bit because your life changed so drastically. But what I want to know is, when you were kind of dropped in the middle of this first family, was there a time in your life where you really tried to hide who you were because of other people's?
No.
You know what I mean? Well, who had on that dress?
No, but this is the thing. Now, let me explain.
Yeah, help me understand.
Because I didn't know when I came into the first family, because I didn't just come into a church. I married into a first family.
Right.
So it was a little different.
Yeah.
So I think in me consulting with my husband, I'm like, okay, I know I should dress a certain way. Because it's just out of respect for the first family. I was okay with that. You know, I knew my skirts up that I would wear with a little bit too much booty thigh hanging out and a little look, that ain't gonna cut it. So, you know, I think with my husband and him growing up in the family, all his sisters wasn't allowed to wear pants.
Wow.
At all.
Yeah.
His baby sister is the only one that was allowed to wear pants at a certain point.
Wow.
So when I'm like, okay, babe, I know I need to, you know, do a little makeover. He's telling me what he knows. That's what he knows. This is what I've been brought up. You know, it suits this, that. Now, don't get twisted. I was in St. John's picking up suits and stuff, but still, they were for me. You know, it just didn't fit who April is.
So isn't that the same thing, though?
Well, no, because I felt like I was happy doing that. I was really, at that moment, I loved my outfit. I didn't feel like I was in a cult and I had to put on, you know, these outfits and, you know, blend in. I felt very confident about what I was wearing and loved my suit collection and my hat collection. But now looking at it, I'm like, what the heck? I said to you, I said, why you didn't fly to New Jersey and slap the crap out of me? I'm like, what in the world?
Right.
But no, I was very comfortable. I just wanted to be pleasing to my first family and pleasing to God.
Right.
And so that's what I thought was pleasing. Not that I was trying to change who I was, because I was still April. I was still that same girl. I just felt like, it's like when you get a job.
That's what I was going
to
say.
You have to dress a certain way for a certain position. Yeah. And so for me, that's what I felt like, okay, this is what I should do.
You were just a postal girl with the fly earrings. That's what you had to wear the same uniform everybody else did, but you was a little more
And this is exactly why I didn't marry the preacher that I was dating. Because I was like,
that ain't why.
How about, no, I'm not going to get me a St. John's suit. No, ma'am. No, I won't do it. That's for your mama. Right. I just wouldn't do it. So, now, our next lady, T, you are very familiar with her. And she got a lot of backlash for this look. I thought she looked amazing.
I thought she did too.
Mrs. Erica Campbell.
First of all, people, we're going to start right here. The girl has on a turtleneck and a skirt. What else did y'all want her to put on, Jesus?
She got body.
I mean, you know what I mean? And being a black woman.
You going to have body.
A black woman, especially of a certain age after we've given birth.
Yeah.
I'm a full grown woman.
Yes.
And my body says so.
Yeah.
So, I mean, she has on a turtleneck, people. Yeah. And a skirt, and she looks amazing.
She definitely looks amazing.
Because I don't.
I'm just saying, your flesh issues is not my business.
All right.
And I, because
your insecurities is not my business. Because really that's what the combination
I've seen
was.
Some other There are some other gospel singing artist ladies that wear outfits and all their cleavages with us all the time. Yeah. And I won't name them. But you know what I mean? Right. It's like, why? I don't have a problem with they wear, and I don't have a problem with she wears. It's her personality. Erica's young. She's vibrant. She's sexy. Yeah. She's
but the problem was she looked too good in it.
Right.
That's what the problem was. That was the only problem.
Yeah. Well, I will say with this next picture, let's just say I'm really happy, my friend. Come on. That's a Sunday morning on her way.
Yes.
Let worship the Lord.
You like fine wine. Yes.
She done brought it back. She done brought it back, Sean.
I look younger there.
Yes. You know what? If you go back to all the pictures, honey. We all look younger now than we did before.
That's just crazy. That's
because
Beyonce called me and told me about the Fountain of Youth. And I was like, okay, girl, I'm going to do the ponytail on the side next week. But this Fountain of Youth is good to me. Yes.
So you was going to church here? Okay.
But let me just say, I took the most drastic picture from my past.
Right.
Because I have some where I'm kind of like borderline like that. But I'm like, you know, but my husband had to learn too because Kenyatta, a good friend of ours who passed away, she used to be like, Sean. She ain't going to a church function today.
It's okay to wait.
Yes, and he just wanted me to be like first lady status, and I'm like, okay. And then when I wear things, he's like, that's too tight. And I'm like, you gonna put a trash bag on me? You still gonna see my curves? Yeah, like no,
but let me just tell y'all how much of a church boy Mr. Sean Daniels is. I did the wedding. He said, Diane, can't nobody dance.
Yeah, no.
I said, wait,
no, that was my first conflict when I first got
saved. But we doing a party, Sean.
No, but tell him who my DJ was.
Biz Markie.
Was my DJ.
And you can't dance.
And I was like, to be like in your seat.
Right. So guess what the compromise was? All right, D, but you can only play the songs that we produce. Okay. How many times we gonna play Rock Your World by Michael Jackson?
And let me tell you, we had a lot of church people in our audience, okay? And when all of those songs came on, it was like you could cut.
Yes.
The tension in the room.
I said, Lord.
But as soon as he put on the gospel song, hey, you're going down the way.
That was the first test.
It was very weird. I was like, April really loved this dude.
No, that was the first test of my faith. The first church I went to, they were amazing, and they were what I needed in my life because I was wild. Me and my husband came from the industry, the streets. We needed that structure. But as I started growing and I got uncomfortable, like, okay, this is beyond me. When my pastor told me two things, and I was like, oh, it might be time to go, because I don't think. He said, we were going back to New Orleans. First, he had a problem that I was going back to New Orleans. I'm from New Orleans. Are you kidding me?
What are you talking about?
You know, like, it's a city. It's a city. It's my family. That's what, something wrong with you. Then it was, he did this whole song about preaching and about dancing. When I tell you, it's sad.
We know you like to dance.
I love to dance. And it saddened me to think that, and me and my husband had just got married, so you mean like I will never dance with my husband?
Right.
I could not imagine that. And then being from New Orleans, like, we second line on a dime, you understand me?
Right.
We gonna celebrate you coming in the world, leaving the world, in between, like, that's just what we do.
Right.
So I felt like, oh my God, that's when I started really thinking. I heard, that was my first time I can audibly remember hearing the voice of God tell me, I'm not changing. I don't need you to change your personality. Mm-hmm. I'm going to change your heart. Mm-hmm. You'll be fine. Because I felt like I was being stripped of myself. And then that pastor had stood up one day in the court, and we'll do that for another show, in the thing where he told us that oral sex was a sin, and I said, it's time to go.
Look.
Well, he should.
It's time to go.
Yes.
Tuned in two Fridays ago.
Oh, this is not good. This is not my church for us.
Well, at Mega Fest.
Can you answer the truffle butter?
And you
didn't
mind.
It's
nasty.
Look.
So y'all will all be proud to know at Mega Fest, I came in dancing to Guapale.
Okay.
Because that's just how I get down.
Yes. You know? I love it.
That's just how I get down.
Yeah.
You know?
And I know some people like, hey.
Yes. I was like, come on now, church people. Don't leave me out here by myself. Come on and rock with me.
God doesn't want to change you. He wants to change Diane's personality.
No.
All he wants to do is change her heart.
Change her heart.
Your heart, it changes your perspective,
yeah,
period.
And it opens round you up. He's not trying to not let you be the chick with the power purple suit and the dang on click at the. That's who he wants you to be.
Because if all four of us sat up here and was the same, how can we win people who are not the same?
Right.
Yeah. We got to be different because my light shines different from the rest. Your light shine. Your light. It is people that each of us can touch that the other can't.
I'll never.
Absolutely.
There'll be people I talk to like, oh, I need to let you talk to Diane.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, I need you to let. You need to meet my girlfriend April. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, you need to hear Jennifer. Like, because I'm not called to every woman.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's true. Now this next topic, I know I'm gonna get some high fives on this one. So if it sticks, get out the kitchen. So Jennifer, do you think a good woman's responsibility is to cook? Especially, even if she got to do it like this, with babies hanging off her damn hips.
Hell to the no. Listen, I do know how to cook, okay? Mm-hmm. My menu is limited,
mm-hmm.
okay? I make great reservations. But listen, I don't feel like to be a good woman, you have to be in the kitchen cooking, mm-hmm. barefoot, holding a kid, and this one, and no.
Kitchen's like, a mess. The kids is a mess.
No.
Yeah, she's looking frumpy.
That kitchen out of control.
The kitchen is not all of our best friends. It's definitely not mine. I mean, I could do a little thing or two up in there. I used to actually make Thanksgiving dinner when I was married. Like, that would be my pass for the year.
Okay.
And I'm like, listen, don't ask me. But I don't think cooking is necessarily like a must to be a good wife, a good woman.
Right. Now, Treva, I know you have a very busy career.
Yes, I do.
And does Big Rock cook at home?
Yes, Big Rock actually cooks the majority of the time. He's an everyday cooking person. For him, cooking for us as a family, when we first started dating, that was his expression of love.
Right.
Like, that's, if he loves you, likes you, mm-hmm. that's how he shows his love. Mm-hmm. Like, to come to our house to eat, it's personal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, if I don't like you, my husband don't like you, you can't come to our house.
You can get a cup of water.
Putting your feet up under our table is personal. Right. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. I've been hurt. Not because as a statement, as a good woman, a good wife, is I'm a multitasker. Because at the same time, see how she got little baby Johnny right there? I probably have had baby Johnny and a headset on, doing whatever I'm doing.
Right.
Only because I could see that, because as a woman, we figure out how to get it all done at whatever time. So at that, I'm not going to speak to that picture and feel like that's a definition of her as a woman and a wife. That's her trying to make it all happen. And for me, that's who I am too. My husband's the everyday cook. I'm the special occasion party cooker. I like to have a reason for my cooking. When you guys come over and I love making my big pots of gumbo and all of that stuff and doing it for my.
Mm-hmm. We love it too. Just
but
so
just
you
on
know.
A Tuesday.
Yeah.
Don't be asking me what's for dinner on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Just
if I'm doing that, ever. I really love you. I really, really love you.
But I don't ever need to be her.
Yeah.
And my love for my husband is true and pure. And I will never be that chick right there.
I'm her sometimes.
Now, Mrs. Daniels, how about you?
Well, I would never be her, only because that kitchen is hideous, and she don't that whole scene ain't
it
right.
That's romantic,
but I would say for me personally, I think a good woman is one who can supply the needs of her husband or her man. So for me, in my household, cooking is a must because my husband has to eat. That is a need, and so I feel complete as his wife, being able to service him in all the ways he needs to be serviced.
Well, I feel whole and complete calling a chef to come in and I'll prepare
sure
a meal for both of us.
It might not be my cooking, but his
exactly. He gonna eat.
Yes. Yeah, he gonna
but
eat.
But I just sorry, don't understand why I need to be in the kitchen.
Why
do
you need to be in the kitchen?
Yes.
Listen, but let me just say this real quick. I think we need to hold on to some tradition.
Why? Because it makes who feel better?
No, not about feeling better, but just for our children. I think part of the problem today is that a lot of tradition is no longer intact. I really believe
that. But whose tradition, though?
Right.
Your own tradition, whatever it is.
In my tradition, the is my husband is the cook. That's
no, and that's fine. Yeah. I'm just speaking from my point of view. Like, I grew up, my mother was in the kitchen. My grandmother was in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And they had jobs. You know, it wasn't like they was just at home cooking, barefoot, pregnant. But for me, that's importance. Because I don't want Omar and Jet to go get a wife that's like, oh, well, we can take out again. We can get delivery. But, we can, you know, I want them to know that substance. I want them to know what a woman, a good woman, in my opinion, is. Mm-hmm. And that's someone who can be, you know, equally yoked. She can hold you down in areas that you ain't going to mm-hmm. get in the kitchen and do. You know, now it works for you because, you know, your man, he is a great chef. I love his food too. But, you know, it's different to traditions for each household. But for me and my home, that's very important to me because I just want them to have a blueprint for not what it should be, but at least to say they had that experience and whether they want to continue it in their own life, that's different, but not like, I don't even know what that's like. My mom ain't never cooked for me. What?
But I just think, I hear what you're saying, but I also feel like I'm talking to one of the mothers in the church that's kind of judging me because I don't fit her mold because I
Who,
don't.
Me?
Yeah.
I said in my household.
Yeah, I get it. The conversation is about not your average church chick. And I just think when you say things like that, I think that all that does is make women that don't do that feel bad about themselves.
No, you ain't got to feel bad. If it's not important to you, don't feel bad.
If I don't cook, am I not good enough to be with your son?
No, you're not. Say no! Say no!
See y'all, America. No.
Let me find out you got feelings for my nephew.
Look. They are working together. No, I'm not saying that because how he runs his house is how he runs his house. I'm not going to be that overbearing mother like, well, she don't
but
cook
you ain't
like
gonna
me.
Be judging me in the back of your mind.
Yes, no, is. I'm not because if he's happy,
like,
I'm
all
happy.
She can make you is a cup of
no,
noodles.
Because let me tell you, I've been judged. So I know what that feels like. Mm-hmm. So that's something I don't do with him.
Stuff is about partnership. Because here's the thing. Big Rock is the main cooker in my family, right? Mm-hmm. But again, it's this expression of love. I know how to say I love you in different ways. For me, we share the cleaning. He can't touch laundry, okay? Mm-hmm. He's not allowed. I do the grocery shopping. Mm-hmm. So I think it's about the balance. For me, we find the balance because I'm not the wife that's going to be Monday through Friday cooking because I'm working on business plans and marketing proposals. I'm running your business that you set up, brother. Mm-hmm. You go like that. I remember there was a lady at that first church. This is where Nacho had his church it came from. She came to my house. We invited her over for Sunday dinner. Mm-hmm. Expression of love.
Right.
I thought the heifer liked me. Okay, we're in there.
You was confused.
All of that, and she sat there the whole time talking about you should be ashamed of yourself, and that's why I feel like April didn't do that, but this lady did, and I didn't take that at all. Like I should change anything.
Why you should be ashamed because you didn't cook?
She says, you know, because you don't want to start. Because again, me and my husband had just gotten married, so you know you don't want to start that, and you know that when he's doing that, that's not a good. I said, why not? I said, he enjoys this. How he tells me he loves me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I said, so I don't know what we're working cracking at your house, but over here, right. He likes smoking
turkey
wings for me.
Right. And I like eating them.
And he likes making me a pot of greens. And he likes to wake me up on Saturday morning with my favorite grits. And he enjoys that.
Right. But, you know, I just feel like even if he don't enjoy it, I just feel like we have the right to choose whatever we want. Mm-hmm. And I just.
Absolutely.
I don't think tradition matters to, it shouldn't matter to anybody. I don't think it should matter to anybody.
I think tradition is what you, I think tradition is individual. It's a family.
Yes,
what
it
your
is.
Tradition is for your family. Right. And your, because for the Rock family, this has been a summer of takeout. We both got jobs.
Summer of takeout.
It's hot. It's been 197 degrees.
Nobody
making no
combo this. You know, it's what it is. When Damon and I got married, we were real grown. And we discussed that we were going to make sure that we defined our love and our marriage for us.
That's right.
And we was not going to be trying to have traditions.
But that's the same thing.
Yeah. No,
you're
I know.
Defining how you want to do
of
it.
Course.
And if it's not including traditions, that's fine.
Right.
I'm defining how I like it. And mine does include tradition because that's always been a part of my childhood and made me the woman I am today.
Yeah. I got it.
And so
What bothers me is the part when you say, well, I just think a good woman...
That's my opinion. I'm entitled to it.
Right. But when you say good woman, you should say, I define April as being good when I cook for my husband.
Now she's going to tell me how to talk.
Don't put it on nobody
else. You see this? You see this?
Because I think I'm a good woman. And I'm not always in the damn kitchen. You might catch me in the bedroom.
See?
And Diane, if that's what it is, that's what it is. A good woman. Because let me just say something to you.
Yeah.
This is the thing. Like, with the four women that we are, we're also individual. coming to your house,
yes.
I'm not concerned about what I'm going to eat.
Right.
I know that I'm going to get an experience.
Absolutely. Right?
From my handwritten Diane Valentine card to my girlfriend opening up the door with a ball gown on, Jesus, right. And I'm there going to the gods.
With her diamond encrusted plate. With her, see, you table. Ain't getting that at my house. No matter but how cook good, you good my food is,
my table ain't never been set. I don't even own them kind of set and supplies. You know what I'm saying? We eat over at the house, but we don't have place settings and whatnot. We got a gumbo pot, a spoon, and a bowl.
Right.
But listen, I enjoy that experience I get.
And it is different. It is very different in my house. And I think my daughter is very traditional, like Miss April here.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, have at it. Go head on and slave in that kitchen if you want to.
Let me just clear this up for Black Twitter. Yes. She always like stirring up some crap. I'm not saying you're not a good woman if you ain't in the kitchen.
You can't date Omar.
That's not true. I don't do that.
Your girlfriend has to cook.
She does cook. She came over and was baking in my kitchen and everything. But listen, that's not true. I'm just saying for me and my family and how I run my household, I would like to leave my children with tradition, yes, so they know the difference. Whatever they choose when they leave the nest is what they choose.
Okay.
I'm not saying got to cook. She got to clean. Well, she got to clean. She can't be trifling.
Well, listen, let's just move on.
Always starting some stuff. She's going to make me cuss on this episode.
See, you can host whenever you're ready.
Psalms 1:4:1.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. So sometimes you got to play for the player. You got to pray for the player and the game.
Yeah.
So, T, I know that you are an executive on Love & Hip Hop Hollywood, and we see this great picture of you here with Omarion. But what I want to know is, do you ever feel like you need to minister to your talent?
Yes. There are times that, not that I feel like I need to, there are times when I know that I should.
Okay.
And the thing about what I do and who I am is because I say all the time, all I am is Treva, so all I can give you is Treva. So if I'm in a moment and it's a tense scene or something's going on, if I need to get you all the way together in a Psalms 144 way, I will. If I need to stop, take off my headset and shut down the set to pray for you, I will.
Oh.
I've done it. I did it last year at the reunion. I've done it in the middle of scenes. Whatever my talent needs, I give it to them. However, ministry to me isn't all. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it is. Let me pray for you.
Right.
I had a girl the other day. She did a surgery on the TV. She was terrified. She was shaking. And as we were taken up in the elevator, I grabbed her hands. I said, "Let me pray for you."
Mm-hmm.
And I asked God to give her peace. Yeah. That was what was needed. Sometimes the ministry comes from me saying to them, "This is what I'm trying to get you to see. Right. This is what I'm trying to." It's sometimes it's me talking to them. So I feel like because of who I am and all that I've been through, I know that my life ministers. And people have a lot to say. I get a lot of little comments about the work I do. But it's all right because y'all watch it. There's one lady on Facebook who took the time to give me this comment. My first season, I was only associate producer. Oh, I was so disheartened to know that you would leave Mary to go do this. And here's the thing. If you saw my name on the credits that first season, you watched all the way to the end, okay? Because she wasn't on the front credits. She was on the bottom credits last season. So you watched all the way to the end. Why are you saying something to me?
You have to admit that the kind of reality TV you do is definitely not always television that portrays us in the best light, you know? And so,
To understand that these people are walking around like this, a lot of them, in their everyday life.
I get that. But like,
living
Jennifer,
to this level of foolishness.
You are on an outright hateful show. So did you ever have to go home and like pray for your co-hosts?
Well, first of all, I wish you were on my set because those bitches needed Jesus. Okay. I had to go home and drink. No, I'm serious. It was like a point where I felt myself turned into an alcoholic because it was just so crazy. And the thing is, I didn't go. The show wasn't sold to me that way. Right. It ended up turning into something crazy. And I was just really like, what am I doing? My family would not approve of this. This is not how I was raised. Like, I don't, you know, I... I like to think that, you know, I portray myself in a positive light.
Right.
And so it just was becoming very crazy. And I have to admit, I probably never prayed for none of them bitches, but I prayed for myself,
right,
to give me sanity, to be able to go onto this set and not have to kill a bitch.
Yeah. And sometimes that's all you can do. That's all you can do.
And I'm being real. That's
And the thing is, with that show, you were with, you taped with the most broken women.
Mm-hmm.
You taped with a lot of broken women.
Yeah.
So, and I tell people all the time, I tell my talent when I sit them down, whatever's in you is coming out of you.
Absolutely.
Reality TV is a magnifying glass. It's not a creation of anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna turn the camera on, and whatever's there, good, bad, or ugly, is going to show up. If it's cracked, I didn't put the crack there, right, baby. It was already there.
Yeah. Right.
All you just have to be aware of your cracks and don't get surprised by your own cracks.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then more blame and somebody else.
What I came to realize is that people have their own personal shit.
Yes.
And like, for me, reading the Four Agreements, it's like, you don't take anything personal, because that's whatever they're going through. And I do realize that hurt people hurt other people.
Right.
And so I just was like, you know what? I don't take this personal. It has nothing to do with me.
Right.
Deep down inside my core, I know I'm a good person. Mm-hmm. And I can sleep at night knowing that.
Right. And T, because I know you and I know your story, I know that you had to be planted there.
Yeah.
You had to be.
I believe that, because my thing is, somebody was going to get that job.
Yeah.
And I thank God every day for those people that were assigned to that show.
Yeah.
That I'm the person that got that job.
Right.
Because I would be afraid for them if it wasn't me.
Right.
Yes,
Lord. I make no bones about what I do.
Right.
It provides me a good living, but I also provide a good, I know who I am and I know what I give. I love every person on my show.
Right.
Genuinely and individually. Mm-hmm. I love all and accept all that comes with them.
Yeah.
On their good days and bad days. And they know that. And because after season one, in between seasons, they're calling me. Because they'll tell me, Treva, I did such and such. Because they want me to be proud of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's important. Somebody, I wished, if it were my, I want to be in those places, like God, or let it be someone like me.
Right.
That would have a job the next season on these type of shows.
Right. That's true. So now, ladies, sometimes you got to understand that you can have your own faith and your own discernment.
Yes.
Now, let me tell you about some crazy stuff when we wrap this one up. Yeah. Because sometimes church people have you drinking all kinds of bad tea.
Jesus.
Okay. Mm. So there's a pastor in Kenya who told his female parishioners that undergarments are ungodly and they should remove them before coming to church so Christ can enter their bodies.
Ooh, so he ain't entering that way.
He sounds like a pervert.
Prepared for that spiritual talking. And I'm just saying, all the time.
That's a
you just cannot.
Wait a minute.
They on the front row.
Stop. You said remove your undergarments.
Mm-hmm.
Can I get a close?
What? That's church. They sitting there with no drawers on.
Yes. With no drawers. The pastor told them not to wear them. Let me repeat
this. This one right here about to pull a Sharon Stone.
I don't blame the pastor.
You don't blame the pastor.
I don't blame the pastor, because you're supposed to seek and get your own knowledge.
Right.
You understand me? You want to
separate the meat from the potatoes.
But see, this is my point. Just like them women in the church can make you feel bad about who you are, you also got people in the church that will make you be foolish.
He making them feel good about themselves.
All right, here, one way or another.
This one with the cleavage all the way to the
She might as well not wear a dress.
God gave us
I'm just still
stuck at the fact that he said remove your undergarments.
Yes.
So that Jesus can enter you. How is he
entering? But only at church, though. So I can wear my drawers at work, though.
But only when I come to your church.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't think
Jesus comes in the room that way.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
The Women of Lord's Propeller Redemption Church in Dandor, Kenya. The devil is a lie.
They need you there, Diane. You need
to read their own Bible.
That need to be your next day.
That's my next speaking engagement in Kenya. Whoa. Oh, honey. Well, ladies, I love when we get together, because it is always a spirited
conversation.
She needs you, Treva. She needs to be your friend.
She? Right. You mean they.
That's right.
She's talking about she. I see four. Yeah.
See, that's why I'm not called to the newly saved. My ministry is specific. Oh, I'm not. Okay. I will end you a baby Christian. Because I'm going to give you. I'm for the foolish sitting in the pew. Look here. And you know dang well you shouldn't have believed that man. Like, I'm called to minister to people like you. You
need to minister that pastor.
Right. He needs some laying hands on him.
No, he don't need no laying hands.
He needs Psalm 144.1.
Don't touch him.
Yes, he do. He needs Psalms 144.1. That's what he needs.
You know. So. Ladies, this has been a very spirited conversation. We didn't even get through our entire show, but it's always so much fun when we get together. So, Jennifer, before we wrap out, why don't you give our viewers one last piece of advice about not being your average church chick, and then tell our viewers how they can keep up with you.
Okay, well, I'm definitely not your average church chick, and I go to a church in LA that I just started going to called One Church on La Brea, and there's definitely not your average church chicks up in there. And people come as they are. They wear what they want. Mm-hmm. And I just say, just be true to yourself. Mm-hmm. Because God accepts us no matter what shape, form, no matter what sins. Just be true to yourself. And don't try to conform to anyone. Because the only one that can judge you is God. And make sure you follow me. I'm not always godly. But follow me. I am Jennifer on Twitter and JenniferWilliams17 on Instagram.
All right. And T, last piece of advice and how they can keep up with you.
I'll piggyback off of being true to yourself. And when in trying to navigate this whole world of Christianity and getting it right, there are some things that just old things, as my friend said, traditions. And there's this one tradition I will call the top 10 will get you in. If you focus right there on those mm-hmm. top 10 commandments, you don't have time on yourself. You won't have time to think about what Jennifer is or isn't. Mm-hmm. You won't have time to think about what Diane is or is not. It's about yourself. It's about self-reflection.
Yeah.
Master them top 10, then go holler here.
That's good.
You can find me also at Miss Rock on Twitter, at Miss Rock 68 on Instagram. Not always, God. Well, I won't say that. I'm always godly. I'm a woman of God. I'm almost inspirational. It depends what's happening for me. Now somebody tried me on what my message might be on my Instagram. So I will help you.
Amen.
Amen.
And on behalf, Amen. On behalf of my friends, I shall help you. Yeah. I'm quicker to help you about them than I will. But I'll ignore you on my page. You go to their page acting a fool, I got you.
And Mrs. Daniel.
You said that was the last bit of advice.
No, I need you. I need your last thoughts, please.
I'm scared to talk. You know, she always coming at the right side of my neck.
Her last thoughts are like, well, you're not traditional.
You know, I think we are in the era of a lot of women not being your average church chick.
Yeah, right.
And that is okay, but what's not okay is when you shun away from the Lord.
Yep.
Yeah. I encourage relationships. I encourage you to find a church. I encourage you to find a church that doesn't try to change you, but that you see that you're able to grow in it. Because mm-hmm. if you're in a church where you just feel comfortable and that's it, I come, mm-hmm. I worship, and I leave, mm-hmm. that might not be the church for you. Mm-hmm. You should always feel a little bit inspired to mm-hmm. want to be better, to want to do more, to want to, you know, go the extra mile. So I encourage everybody to find a church home if you don't have one and still be true to yourself. You don't have to wear peach colored suits like I did down to the floor with kitten heels, but you know, be true to yourself.
Ooh,
and hush, Jennifer. And I can be found at I Am April Daniels across all social media platforms.
Thank you, Mrs. Daniels. Mm-hmm. Ladies, I am a firm believer that a relationship with Christ is individual. It is a personal relationship. And when you have a personal relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then you know that God made you exactly the way you are. And He formed you before you even had breath in that body. So as you begin to mature in Christ, you will realize that things will start to come out of you because He pulls them out of you. And if you don't define yourself for yourself, others will constantly define you for you. I'm Diane Valentine. You can keep up with me across all social media platforms at Diane Valentine. At Diane Valentine. Lord, I'm tongue tied. Church people got me sweating. April got me sweating over here. Thank you guys for tuning in. We love you. Good night.
Bye.
Don't
from executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagram at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in. The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.